The following message by Pastor Bob Sheridan is brought to you by the ministries of Palos Bible Church. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.
You know what? We have been going through a series in the book of Galatians. Somebody made a joke saying, when I got here, I started in Galatians and I'm just about to finish. It's not accurate. I just want you to know that. We've covered other things that have been going on, but we have been in a series going through this book for a while, and I don't apologize for it because there's important things that are there. We're going to be focusing today on the grace of God. You know who needed the grace of God? But I'm telling you, Paul saw the Galatians, and they needed to understand about the grace of God. I'm with you, and before we finish, all of us, I'm so there. But don't run the application yet. Let me go ahead and cover some information first, you know, that's there. Paul, writing to this region with the problems and struggles that they were going through in theological schools around the country and actually around the world, Galatians is often taught with Romans. Different letters, different locations, but similar messages. Man can only be forgiven and justified by faith. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. That's not how it goes. And I know that there are religions around the world and here in America that say something different, but I want you to know we follow what God says. We follow what the Scriptures say in the Word, and that's really what it's all about. The key doctrine is that we're able to be justified by faith. The key for us to understand today, to lead into all of the book of Galatians, is not only is a sinner saved through faith, but a saved sinner lives by faith. Grace is a way to life, and grace is to be a way of life. And I just need to tell you this, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not always understood. But we've been talking about it over and over and over, and as we come now to be reviewing and just looking at this whole section, you know, I just remind you that this is something that we need to be doing. Galatians is one of Paul's shorter epistles, but by some, it is highly esteemed and thought of as one of his greatest and most influential. The point of it is, since Romans and Galatians both teach similar things, the former, speaking of Galatians, has been thought of by some as simply an extension of what the book of Galatians teaches. Some end up calling Galatians a short Romans. You follow that? It's teaching us the same doctrines, only in a shorter amount of space that is used. In the early church, at the time that Christianity was beginning to be understood, Christ came and he died for our sins and he rose again the third day and he was on the earth for 40 days and then he was literally taken up into heaven where he is right now at the right hand of the Father. But he said to his disciples, "Tarry, wait at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Though those words were said to the disciples, they continue to be our call today. The work's not done. People need to know the truth about who Jesus is and what he did and what the meaning of it is, what the gospel really means. You say, well, we've already made it all over the world. We have so many people in our country today that don't know the truth of what we end up expressing today at Palos Bible Church. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the work's not done. We need to understand it. We need to accept it. We need to be willing to share it with other individuals. That's a part of why Galatians was written. Also, centuries later, what we found, and this is the tendency of mankind, by the way, is that we end up losing our focus on him, and we get away from him. There was a period of time on the earth that was called the Dark Ages. One of the reasons it was dark is because people didn't have the word. You know, the world isn't darkness. until they understand the light of Jesus Christ? It's not just a religious concept, it's Jesus. He's able to help us in the midst of whatever we have to go through and endure in the midst of our life. Well, many, many years after all of these things had gone on in the time of the Dark Ages, there then was beginning to be a movement. And that movement began to be called the Reformation. The Reformation was a call back to the basics, a call back to God, a call back to the Word. What's true? What God says. That's what's true. Jesus, he's not just somebody good to get to know. He's the only method whereby we can have a relationship with the living God. And we recognize, how do we end up doing this? By faith. And as I've shared with you, not only do you find that in the book of Romans, you find that in the book of Galatians. We're not going to go through all the verses, okay? But I want to remind you of what it is that we have been taking apart piece by piece and looking at, and now we want to put it all back together. There was a focus during the time of the Reformation on salvation by grace through faith alone, a teaching of the book of Galatians. And because of that, this was one of the portions of Scripture that they loved being able to preach and be able to express to other people during the time of the Reformation. They got other people on board, and it grew and grew and grew and influenced much. In fact, through the Reformation, lives were changed, and some of those individuals years later ended up coming to the United States of America. And our nation was built on a Judeo-Christian ethic. Now, I'm not telling you that everything's fine today, because it's not. But we look to the roots and we say, why do we enjoy the blessings that we have in this country in which we find ourselves? And we go back and we find that the Word of God influenced lives who came here and wanted to be able to see a demonstration of people being able to live together and work together, being able to live within an ethic that comes out of the Word of God. Luther, this is Martin Luther, way back when I'm talking about, was especially attached to Galatians and referred to it in a loving way as his wife. Now, he had a wife and he loved her too, but he was so connected with the book of Galatians and the things that were taught that he couldn't find himself not bringing it up in a conversation that he would have. The profound influence of this small epistle continues. It is indeed the Magna Carta of Christian liberty, helping us to understand the difference between the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and a tendency to try to be able to work for and earn a relationship with God. Not that there's not people that don't try to do that, but the book of Galatians especially speaks to that concept of it. The Galatian error had two forms, both of which Paul has dealt with in this letter, and shortly we're going to move into the Word. The first is that obedience to the law is mingled with faith as the ground of salvation. This is error. I'm pointing it out to you. I'm saying that you don't earn salvation. You know, the concept, I don't know if you've ever heard this one before, but anybody see these telephone poles that are all over? I had one in my backyard when I was growing up, but they knew me. Well, maybe not knew me personally, but people like me because they didn't start the rungs at the bottom. I grew up and I was a boy. What do you think I would have done? You knew me? Really? That's interesting. But, you know, there's this tendency that we have to want to just go. And so some people teach almost like Jesus is the ladder that gets you to the first rung and you got to go the rest of the way. No. The Bible ends up saying Jesus gets you, with this metaphor, to the top of the pole, which I do not want you going to, and the boys and girls are in children's church, so you don't have to worry about that. But we recognize that, no, it's not partially Jesus and partially you. It's not that obedience to the law and Jesus gets you to heaven. It's Jesus. by faith, Jesus. That's it, period. Not going to go, I'm not going to get adding something else to it. But that was an error that Paul needed to point out. Without it, some may be lost and think they're saved. Is that horrible? And that's scary to anybody here in the room, that you end up living your life and you think you're in and all's well, and you end your life and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That breaks my heart. I don't want anyone in this room to ever hear those words coming out of the mouth of my Lord. What's it mean? It means I need to know God's method of salvation. How do I find forgiveness, really? How do I find a relationship with a holy God when I'm not a holy person? The answer is Jesus. It's all about him. It was an error, and it needed to be pointed out. Remember how Paul started that letter? I mean, boy, I'm telling you, without us seeing him and hearing the words, I just in my mind imagine him saying with such forcefulness, all that's within him. Listen, you need to know that's not the gospel. This is the gospel. There is no other gospel except for this one, which is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We have Jesus' own words where he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father, what? Except by me. We have in the book of Acts where we end up learning that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but that of Jesus. It's all about him. And so some have believed that it's all about earning it. Yes, Jesus came. Good for him. He was a great teacher and grateful for him. No. They would say that the reason that Jesus went to the cross was a huge misunderstanding. I have news for you. If he didn't take my place, I'm still lost. And you too. And there is no gospel. But there is a gospel, and we learn about it in the book of Galatians, and it reminds us of the awesomeness of our God, of the love of our Savior, and what he was willing to do for us. It was a second error, and the second error was that a justified believer is made perfect by keeping the law. Galatians 1:6, all the way from back in the beginning of the book. First of all, by the way, we end up learning in verse 3, a part of the introduction that was often in Paul's letters. What did he desire and wish for the people that he was writing to? That grace would be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hoping that the result of this message would allow them personally to experience God's grace and God's peace. Let me take a moment, although we'll talk about it more. How are you doing today? Are you, as an individual that would say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, assuming that for the moment, have you found his grace? Have you found his peace? Is there an understanding in your heart that God's got your back? Because if you don't know that, life is really hard, isn't it? You know, to try to, I mean, because again, we're not going to start sharing your problem and your problem and your problem and yours and yours and yours and yours, but you know what? Some of us have gone through some hard things and some are in the midst of hard things. I need God's grace. I need to find that peace because without it, I just don't know what to do next. Where do I go in life? What do I do? But we find through Jesus Christ, and I say this to every person here, that if you would recognize that you cannot earn it and come to the foot of the cross, you will find Jesus meeting you there and being able to pick you up as you come to him by faith and to help you and to do in you what you could not do yourself. This is the wonderful message of the hope that we have, not just in the future. You know, not just, you know, one day I'm going to finally not have this stuff of these problems anymore. I'll be home with the Lord. Can't wait till that happens. I hear you, but you know what? Jesus is not just there. He's here. Recently, a couple of you have quoted to me something that I often end up sharing. He has said, I will never leave you, what? Yeah, he ends up telling us that he's with us in the midst of the trials. So he starts out the letter and he says there in verse 3, you know, grace, that's what I desire for you, and peace. How? From God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he says, I marvel, I'm in chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the what? Yeah, not just that you end up recognizing, you know what, if I never trust Christ as my Savior, then I not only have nobody here with me, I'm on my own, but when I finish my life, I am guilty and going to come before a holy God, and I will spend eternity paying for what I deserve. Anybody want that? Oh, by the way, I'm not just putting down, you know, somebody in this room. All of us. All of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is, yeah. When's the last time you stopped and thought about that? Outside of Jesus Christ, what I deserve would be death, not just physical death. We're talking worse. We're talking separation from God for all eternity. But the second part of what I expressed as the error Paul begins to bring up, and that is that you do not simply come to Christ by faith. That is correct, and it's necessary, and it's the only way that you come. But how do I now live day by day by day? And Paul wants us to know it's not different. It's recognizing my utter need. You say, I thought you already trusted Jesus. I did. But I had this stinking old nature, and I'm capable of doing some stupid things. Amen. Amen. I'm so assuming we're talking about everybody right now, right? Because it's true of everybody, but it also is true of me. However you wanted to give that, that's up to you, you know. But here it is. My need, your need, to find how do I walk? How do I live? I needed at the beginning, in order to be saved, to come to a place of realizing that I was spiritually bankrupt. And Jesus paid the debt for what I owed. Okay, here I am now. I've made that decision. I trusted him days, weeks, months, years ago. How do I live today? I live today saying, Lord, I'm still capable of doing stupid stuff. Right now, I don't want to be on the throne of my life. I ask Jesus to come and be on the throne of my life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God, I want your way, not my way. I want you to be in charge. I want you on the throne of my life. That attitude of humility that's necessary for salvation is the same attitude that we need to have on a daily basis. Now, around Payless, there's something that I came across, and it's just the way I word it and express it so that you understand how I'm talking. I want to explain it. That is, when I use the term humility, I'm speaking of dependence. It's not I stink, it's not this false modesty where you're looking for somebody to say, no, you're really a pretty good person. No. This is an attitude where I say, on my own, I can't do it. I need you, God. It's an attitude of dependence that I have where I end up looking to him to help me no matter what. And that's no matter what. And you know what we find? God's bigger than my no matter what. Amen. God's bigger then whatever the circumstance is, you go, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't, but I know somebody who does, and he's bigger than what you're going through. And right now, you know what? We need that hope. We need to know that truth. We need to know that the method through which I get is not just pulling myself up on my bootstraps and just giving it the old college try. It is coming in an attitude of dependence and saying, oh God, would you do in me what I cannot do? Would you use me and do through me what I cannot do? We are discussing the concept of the grace of God. And the letter that Paul writes to the Galatians is all about this topic. Whether he uses the word over and over and over again or the concept, which is throughout the book, every single chapter, you know, is going to be dealing with it, is that which we are looking at in our time that is together. Chapters 1 and 2 is autobiographical. Paul literally ends up using himself and begins talking about him and about what God began being able to do in him. He says, verse 10, Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a what? A bondservant. We just talked about that last week. We're not going to go back to that portion of Scripture, but what was that? It was a slave or servant who chose willingly to be in submission to his master for life. You say, who could do that? No. I'm telling you, in the early church, they accomplished much. In fact, there is something that is said to them at one time. You know what? You're turning everything upside down. The whole world is being turned upside down. No, it wasn't. It was being turned right side up. It's only when Jesus is in your life that you will begin to find what the meaning of life really is. It's all about him. You say it's too simplistic. I say you don't know my God. It is just as enormous as I've expressed. And that's why we need to be in the book. Because if we're not in the book, we hit the circumstance and we just go, you know what, I can't handle that. Nobody can handle that. But I get in the book and I read page after page of who my God is and I see what he does. And I say, you know what, he could do that. He could do this. He could help me. Amen. Good connection. Good job. That's what it's about. We learn the facts of what God says, and as a result of that, we begin to trust him with the circumstances that we're going through. He goes through some very interesting personal information about Paul that's given to us in the latter part of the first chapter and into the second chapter, and we find that Paul just continued to see God at work. Verse 15 of chapter 1, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me how? Through his grace. Is there anything that's happened in your life that's good that is not find its roots in the grace of God? You say, well, you know what? I worked and I did this and I did this and I did this. Who gave you the abilities that you have? Anybody ever have, roller skating when I was a small kid, and I'm down in my basement, just concrete that's there, and all of a sudden the skates came out from under me. I hit on my back and I had the breath knocked out of me. Anybody else that happened to? Tend to be roller skates, by the way, just your breath knocked out of you, and you're there and you're fully awake. How scary. I think if it happened to me today, it would still be quite fearful to have that condition end up happening to you. What do you have that is not of God? Come on. Payless Bible Church. Let's get it. Let's understand it. This is something we need to live in the light of. Nothing. You follow that? Nothing. God is the one who has blessed me with anything and everything. Oh, God, it's all about you. That's what Paul's trying to get across. That's what he wants us to understand. He uses his life to be able to describe it in chapters 1 and 2, but he basically goes, you know, he's the one who called me. He's the one that oversaw and saw me through all that I ended up being able to do. And I continued to go forward for the Lord. We learn in chapter 2, verse 9, he ended up going there to Jerusalem, and there was James and Cephas, which is another name for Peter. I'm hoping you guys all know. James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars. And you go, yeah, you know? I mean, we're talking the original 12. We're talking about these three who spent private time, you know, together with Jesus. Awesome. And here the three of them are, and he says they seem to be pillars. I think they were definitely pillars in the early church. Perceived the grace that had been given to me. What did those three men see? They saw God in the life of an individual. Because that's how you and I do what we do. Listen, Adrian and I have been blessed to be here for coming on 40 years, but without the grace of God, I got news for you. You don't have us. And if we don't have the grace of God, you don't want us. But we stand here before you to say, it's God's grace throughout. It's God's grace. Just as Paul was seeking to be able to say to the people that were there in the region of Galatia, why in the world would you leave a walking and living in the grace of God with all of the joy that it brings to us to go back to just trying to be able to live under the law where I can say, look at me, I did this and I did this and I did this. Doesn't make sense. But that's what was happening. That's what false teachers had come and given, and people had bought into it in the midst of all that is going on. So we recognize that God has called us from being a slave to the law to being able to find liberty as a child of God. Get this. And in our liberty, nothing honors God more than our willingness to say, I choose to walk and live in a way that pleases you. After all that you've done for me, you bought me, you gave your life for me, I have a free will, I can do whatever I want, I choose to walk and live for Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see why in the early church a doulos was something that the disciples, as they wrote, you know, and I told you about this, James, the half-brother of Jesus, and Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, that literally have epistles that are in the Bible, and Paul in a number of his letters. We are a doulos. We are privileged to say that we are sold out to him. And how did they walk? How did they live? Day by day, we need you, Lord. We're not in charge. You are. We come before you to find out what you want us to do. I was a young Christian when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I was 18 years old, and I was shortly after that, a year after that, in the military, and I found myself in a place where I'm over in Korea, and I'm a believer with a couple other believers, and you know what they called us? They thought it was maybe mocking, but they called us God Squad. Obviously, there was a TV program of a similar name at the time, you know, that was out there, but, you know, that which they might have thought is a put-down, I went, yeah, you know? And you know what you learn in the military? You learn this early on, is that you do not say, yeah, I wonder what I feel like doing today. I don't remember that in my time in the military. You know what? What are the orders for the day? That's God's call on you and me. That we learn to get into an attitude of starting the day saying, Father, what are your orders? I have a commander in chief, and I want to carry out his will. This is our call. This is what we to see it. And so chapters 1 and 2 was about him. Chapters 3 and 4, Paul contended for the true doctrine of grace. That is, justification by faith alone. In the midst of chapter 3, in the midst of chapter 4, we end up seeing it's all about him. It's all about him. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, why don't you just go with me there to chapter 2, verse 20. He says, and I'll pick it up the context, verse 18, if I, Paul's trying to contrast I with what ought to be, if I build again those things that I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. It's all about the law. You know, all you can do with the law is either keep it 100% or else you become, he uses the term, transgressor. If you're driving a car and you've got a 1,000-mile trip and you drive and you drive and you drive and you drive, and then shortly before you get there, let's say it's only 3 miles away from your destination, you end up changing lanes and you don't use your signal, and you end up cutting somebody off because you're really wanting to get to there and you're done, and you get pulled over. Do you tell the officer, officer, you don't understand. I've just done 1,000 miles, and I didn't break the law once. I think that's going to work. Because the fact of the matter is that you are guilty of what you just did. And that's where you are with the law. You either are 100% keeping everything perfectly, or else you're a transgressor. Paul says, no, that's not what it's about. He says, verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do you see the concept of the doulos that's there? It's the master. It's his will. It's all about him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not set apart what? Or set aside the grace of God. So it's not just for initially trusting him as Savior. It's for living for him every single day. Now, if you're anything like me, sometimes you forget that. And it's an awful feeling, isn't it? To feel like you let God down. You know, he's done all that for me. And I told him that I was his. And then I end up getting off track. And where do I go? And I find forgiveness. For Jesus Christ died for my sins yesterday, today, and forever. You don't understand grace unless your brain begins to go, man, that really sounds like people could really take advantage of it. Yep, that's what it is. People could, but we shouldn't, because Jesus did everything for me. But what has he offered me? A relationship with him on a daily basis. The Spirit of God indwelling me until the day of Christ Jesus. Him at work within my life where I can be able to find life and that more abundant. The ability of him to help me no matter what. Does anybody have your back today? And the answer is, if you know Christ as Savior, you're never alone. Never alone. And so we end up learning that. Chapters 5 and chapter 6 go on and end up talking about that liberty does not mean license to just go do whatever you want to be able to do. So chapters 5 and 6 talk about a Christian should live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that when we manifest in our life, in our life, you know what it looks like? It looks like the fruit of the Spirit. It's not, I'm going to do the fruit today. It's not you earning it. It's you stopping, giving in, allowing God to be the Lord. And you know how you know he is? you begin to see the fruit of the Spirit at work in your life. And it's a moment not to say, look at me. It's a moment to say, oh God, thank you. Thank you that you would allow people to see you at work in my life. It comes out of an attitude of dependence. Do you hear it? And there is a joy, not just a peace, but a joy. There's a reality in which I say it is such a privilege and an honor to live by the grace of God. He started the letter focusing on that. Chapter 6. Go to the end of the book. Because after all has been shared, and there's a lot of wonderful things that are there, we learn at the very end that he says this in verse 18, brethren, chapter 6, verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He started with grace, and he ends with grace. Because you know how you and I can find victory today? There is only one way. And it's God's grace. Aren't you grateful today? You know? What does the Word of God do when I begin to read it and study it and begin to understand who He really is? Yes, He is sovereign God. Yes, He is holy God. But He is a God who understands my weaknesses. And He has resources that are everything I need. Did you get that? Everything I need. But what? No, there are no buts. There are no exclusions. And so Paul's desire, his wish, his prayer for the people in the region of Galatia is to understand the grace of God. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Have you seen God's grace in your life? Huh? I think of God's grace as I think about people that He has placed into our life. And we see them as God's provisions. Why? Because we're keeping this mindset of His grace. And therefore, each and every thing that we find that goes on, it's His grace. You follow that? You know what? You end up wanting to get to a place immediately, and you end up having things that keep you there, and you're frustrated, and the next thing you know, up ahead of you, there's an accident, and you go, that could have been me. Oh, God, forgive me for not being aware of your grace. Do you understand it? What do you do as you leave here? You know, do you understand what to do? Because the last thing I want to give you is just a lot of information. Go, yeah, it's all right information. So what? What do I do about it? How do I appropriate the grace of God? Number one, if you never have, you come to the foot of the cross and you realize I can't earn a relationship with God. All I can do is understand how far short I come from who God wants me to be. I've failed Him. You been there? I got news. There's no other way to get to Christ outside of realizing that. You get around that, and you go, so I think I'm okay. I'm not like them, you know, but I still have Christ. No, you know, the truth is, I'm a sinner, and I deserved His judgment. But He offered me salvation, forgiveness through His grace. That's where we start. And how do you go forward? On a daily basis. God, would you help me understand who you are more and more and more? This is why we get into the Word, because it helps us to see who He is. He's an awesome God, I want you to know. He loves us more than we understand what love means. And He not only wants to save us, get ready, He even wants to use us. Maybe you, Pastor, but not me. Oh, no. Hear this, my friend. I want you to know God wants to take you wherever you are, and He wants to do a work in you and through you, and He wants to use you. Make no mistake. Let's pray. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, for the struggles of life are not make-believe, they're real, and they hurt. And sometimes, Lord, we just hit the end of ourselves and we feel so weak. We don't know what to do. Lord, may we understand what you had the Apostle Paul writing was for our benefit as well, that you wanted us to understand you as God, Jesus as our Savior, to understand that you have a plan for our life, and to stop living day by day for ourselves and begin giving our life back to you with all the weaknesses, with all the foibles and frailties. We give ourselves to you. And we pray, God, that you would take us and that you would use us however you desire. And may there be something in our life that would bring honor and glory to you through our words, through our actions, even through our attitudes. God, we submit them to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bob Sheridan. Pastor Bob Sheridan and Palos Bible Church reserve all copyright protections under applicable law. For more information, please visit palosbiblechurch.com.